This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek enables fans to quickly and easily discover the best deals for sports, concert, and theater events. The company's interactive stadium apps, deal score, and comparison shopping experience provide fans with the buying intelligence needed to find the best prices from trusted ticket markets and purchase tickets seamlessly. Use deal score and SeatGeek's intuitive comparison shopping by visiting voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek today. That's voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. That is where you go to get all your tickets. Welcome to the KMP Show, episode number 8. I am your host, John Playtech.
Basically, fuck you.
And with me, as always, is my good friend, the other host of our show, Rich Craich.
Hello.
Beaver Anus.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Good.
I'm good. This job I've been, my agent booked me, or is trying to book me into it. And for the entire 2 weeks ago on Thursday, they were like, all right, check your availability Friday and Monday. I'm like, okay. Then Friday comes and they're like, oh, we need Tuesday and Wednesday too. Then Monday of the next week comes on. They're like, yeah, by the way, what about Thursday and Friday of this week? And that was last week. And I know. And I'm like,
have you got any money yet out of this or no?
They just keep stringing you along. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a pretty big spot.
Out them. Tell them. Who are they? Tell me right now. Call them assholes. Right here.
They are.
They don't know. Please don't do that.
They're a premium network with their own streaming service.
Okay.
So, and that's, I'm not actually under NDA just yet, but
ABC,
I don't know.
That's a big spot from ABC. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Right? ABC. Wow. That's big.
No, it's actually Univision. It's Telemundo.
Have you been asked to do any other, like, because obviously if people don't know, you do voiceover work. Mm-hmm. Of course. Have you ever been asked to ever do a nationality that's not like you? Like, I get, like, I know you were, there was that one you told me where they're like, hey, can you like add more Chicago to it? And you were just like, you did like the, you know, the stereotypical, like, what super fans esque Chicago, even though, you know, we're both from Chicago and I don't think either of us sound
it doesn't. Only the they're back in the yard.
Yeah,
like,
even
I'm
those
really trying to be Chicago.
And most of those people I think are dead or should die. or have died of like poisoning. Because they still drink the water.
My kid will beat up your kid, you pussy. What are you doing?
Because they drink like the water from like the bubbly creek of the old stockyard. So they, unfortunately, they've now died too because they've gotten horrible diseases. But
TCE, CTE, what are you neggheads talking about? Yeah. This is crazy.
Just play football. They got mouth guards. That'll help the concussions. But
they're supposed to stop concussions. That's what they do.
That's what they told me. That's what they told my son. But I'm in Pee Wee football and he wears the new helmet. That's fine. He doesn't get any concussions. Okay. But have they ever asked you to do like any of that? They're like, oh, we could really use like a Latin fella. Like, have you ever been asked to do that? Or is there like enough Latin dudes that they can just ask to have?
There was one. They didn't ask me. I just offered it up. Mm-hmm. It was a an audition. It wasn't a job. I want to say it was Mountain Dew, and Mountain Dew was doing a radio promotion, and they wanted an English speaking male and then a Spanish speaking male. And I'm not fluent in Spanish at all. My highest and best use in Spanish was, I think, Spanish 2 in high school. And then I was just so rusty, I had to take it again in college to satisfy that requirement. So I just took Spanish 2. If I was ever in a Spanish-speaking country, I could...
You're done.
I could order, go to the bathroom. I could, like, look at a map and find things. And then, like, I could eventually get my way to the consulate. Like, if I'm Jason Bourne and I wake up, I'm like, oh, my God. But I'm not fluent by any stretch of the imagination. However... The one thing that my Spanish teachers always told me is that I have tremendous pronunciation, enunciation, and tone. I do a very good, like, roll your R's. And my favorite thing to do is when I would go to Disney World and, you know, on the monorail, you hear that guy, it's, please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténgase alejado de las puertas. And I... And I always did that well. And they were like, and that's where I learned it too, was being at Disney World and hearing the monorail guy, please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténgase alejado de las puertas. And that's where I got
that's
my...
That's your calling right there.
Exactly.
Re-recording all the
all the things that they have recorded and
Need replacements of. That's the goal right there.
That's exactly what I want
to
do.
They need a nice mic. They need to be a little bit clearer for that horrible speaker been replaced in, 45 years.
I've sent my demo reel off to Metra because I'm like, now approaching Hinsdale. I could do that. Now approaching Union Station. See something? Say something. Your train safety relies on you. No, but it was Mountain Dew and they were doing it. And I was just like, I don't speak Spanish, but I'm pretty sure I know how these words are pronounced. And
they're not?
I'm pretty sure they're bad. I'm pretty sure. If they were pronounced the way I thought they were pronounced, it was probably a good read. But there's
a reason you didn't get a call back, you think?
Yeah, and I think it was that. Right. It was that because there's plenty of Latin males to do it. But I've done just character stuff. Like we need this, a crotchety old Englishman.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's more of a chance to try to hone to center in on an accent than it is I've got a killer Cockney old man accent.
Well, I was mostly asking because I was hoping at some point someone was like, we need an Asian voice, and you're just like, oh no, because you don't want to do that. They're like, well, we need an. You're like, well. Okay, I think I know how an Asian would sound, but they're like, yeah, well, what do you think? And you're like, I don't really want to do it, because
right.
I know, we all know, what you would sort of, if I told you, unfortunately, for better or for worse, if I told you, hey, can you do, a Chinese voice or whatever?
Right.
Even though it's not right and it's horribly wrong and horribly racist, everybody in their mind right now when I said that had idea. What that would be, but and you don't want to send that though, because you send it to them and they're like, is this some kind of joke?
Like dudes are racist.
They're like, we sound normal. Like we don't sound like that. I'm Chinese, dude. We're a Chinese company. Like I'm born in America, but we're you know what I mean? And you're like, well, I'm sorry. You said you wanted a Chinese guy. You're like,
I'm trying to earn a living here, motherfucker. God damn it.
I just was hoping that ever somebody at some point put you in that horrible situation where you're like, oh, do I be the racist voice or do I do do I just play it cool? Hey, we need an Italian guy. And then you're like, oh, and then you just say it normal. And they're like, yeah, exactly. So you got to know who the, if it's some ad agency, it's all white people anyway. So it's fine. It's all 25 year old.
Right.
White
they're
guys.
Like, oh, so, yeah, that's how Asian people talk. Yeah, exactly.
But you got to, I wonder if it does change by the client. If it's a specific client, you sort of have to know what they are or whatever. Cause if it's a shitty ad agency in New York, 100% chance they're all 27 year old white dudes,
right? I've done it. It's not a nationality, but the thing is that apparently, it wouldn't be okay for somebody putting out a call for talent. It wouldn't be okay for somebody to say, "I need white sounding people."
right.
But it's weird because the inverse of that is totally fine. You can. I need, and nobody has the balls to say black, even though I need
urban?
An African.
Is it urban? I was hoping.
They say urban a lot, and then they say African American.
Jesus fuck, urban. You know what I mean?
We want a young hip urban sound, and I know exactly
urban.
What you want. Just say it.
Yeah, if you're gonna say urban, you might as well just say it.
If you're gonna say urban, say black. Black is much less
because I think urban
you're trying to be underhanded and
exactly.
I'm talking about black people,
right.
But not really.
And it's disingenuous too, because especially now, we see it in Chicago and you see it all across the country, is more and more of the affluent white people or whatever, the affluent people in general are moving back into the city. So still using the term urban, wink,
right.
Wink, the projects. And you're like, okay, wow, geez, just say what you want to say. It's worse if you dance around that.
Mm-hmm.
Then just say it.
But I've auditioned for a few of those.
Okay.
Where it was clear they want a black
guy. I don't want to hear that. Don't do that now.
You don't want to hear it? Come on. It's not bad because I figure of myself the token white guy that's in every what was that movie with the teacher that had to save the underprivileged youth?
Hardball with Keanu Reeves.
The one from the 90s with the chick. I want to say.
It wasn't Hardball with Keanu Reeves?
No, the hook on the soundtrack was Gangsta Paradise. Gangsta's
Dangerous
Paradise.
Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
Yes.
And there's that one token white couple of white people And I figure, like, there's white guys in the, like, urban, and they kind of sound like that. So that's the character I'm playing. That's what I've done. Like, this segment is brought to you by SeatGeek.
It's just a guy from the Bronx.
Yeah, basically, but it's worked. People are like, you know, you're on the short list.
Just a little, so, like, you're just like a little punk 14-year-old from the Bronx.
Yeah, but sometimes I get a little 60s, bit more into it. Like, yeah, sometimes like, there's a part of me that's always like, you know what, that's kind of racist. But I'm like, no, I'm paid to, like, act.
Right, exactly.
Most of voiceover work is, like, actual acting, and I'm not trying to be stereotypical about it, but, you know, and you know what? They're trying to tell a bunch of these white guys or black guys to sound like white people too, to make it more like appealing to white people too. Like, there's a push towards a center of how people sound. Like, you don't want, like, really super white guy, but you don't want, you know, the opposite end of that spectrum. Yeah. So everybody's getting pushed and scrunched, like, towards each other. And I figure, you know what? Screw it. Especially if you're going to send it my way. And it's like, why am I getting this if I'm a white guy? You must want me to audition. So go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and do it and not feel racist about it. But
there you go.
Have yet to book. Oddly enough, no idea why. I think I've done a few Russian stuff too, but, you know, I don't know how good. I don't know if they want, like, my Russian accent is good for comedy. It's not good for, like, reading, like, Stolsky or like, the Russian poets. Like, I'm good for, like, if you need somebody like, Nico, my cousin.
Yeah, right,
I can do that.
Yeah. If it's, like, exactly. It's like a joke, like, yeah, you're trying to make, like, you're trying to sell vodka, but, like, you're just, like, an American company that just sells vodka, and they're, like.
Right, you want the standard Eastern, like, European, Eastern Bloc Russian accent,
right,
that,
like,
everybody knows is
how
Russian.
How the Simpsons would have a Russian character. Like, that,
exactly.
That sort of, yeah, or, like, South Park or whatever would have, like, how a cartoon would sort of present a Russian character or Russian person on the show.
Right, because an actual Russian is not going to sound that way. They're going to be a little bit different, and they all have different accents and dialects, so. But, yeah, that's my... That's how a little bit racist the voiceover work can be. But, you know, I figure it's like, it's marketing, and isn't marketing.
Oh, it's inherently, like, racist. Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If
you're marketing,
know.
You're racist. I mean, you have to be. Like, and it's like, because I do that a lot with our company or whatever, of, like, targeting Facebook ads and doing that sort of stuff, is that at the end of the day, like, it sucks and it's terrible and it feels weird or whatever, but, like, I kind of have to be like, you know what, we only want people that speak English, or we only want, like, this, or we only want, like, a certain type of people to come because they are, you know, our demographics that buy stuff. Like, I, you know, there's a lot of times where it's not even racist, it's everything. You're literally, to market, you have to be prejudiced. Like, there's no way to do it otherwise, or you're not doing it right. You're just, you know, you're buying ads that aren't really targeting, and you're not going anywhere with these ads. They're just kind of going to everybody, and it's like, well, that's not our target demographic, like, or that's not, like, who buys our stuff. Like, it's you know, it feels weird and icky at times, but you know, it is what it is.
And in the age of equality, it kind of feels weird, because, you know what, go through an issue of Jet magazine and try to find a Citizen Echo Drive watch advertisement. Try to find Eli Manning's face selling Citizen Echo Drive watches.
Face, yes.
Yeah. Try to find that in an issue of Jet magazine, right?
Can't say I look at Jet all that much, but
I guarantee you won't. But you go through Sports Illustrated all over the fucking place. It's like every third page is an ad
droopy mouth.
Yeah, and he's just like
droopy mouth Manning just talking something. Yeah.
And it's Citizen watches, and it's okay, because people like, why should people be, like, forced, whether they're, like, forced actually, formally forced, or feel some kind of social pressure to do things and market things that aren't going to be smart business-wise. And I was going to bring up the NBA TV as a reference point, but you know what? I don't think they can sell ads, period.
No,
so
they can't
taking
sell
anybody.
NBA ads. Like Brett Favre's...
right, Brett Favre should not be
not
on
tone,
NBA
copper,
TV.
Copper, what is it?
It's the copper fit,
yeah. And then he's hawking some, like, horrible razor company that I don't even know the name of. I watch NBA TV constantly, and I have no idea what that razor company is called.
Brett Favre
is a dollar store Dollar Shave Club. Like, that's how ridiculous it is. It's like, yeah, the Dollar Shave Club is a little too expensive for you. We get it. Here's this one. Like, like, all right, we know that you can't really afford a dollar every time. It's fine. It's cool.
Is that the one with the one. Is that the one with the fake
the
like
faux
comeback
press conference? Yeah, and there's like three people there, and he's like, "I'm back." <That's> like, they're like, "Is Rhett? What's going on?" He's like, "I'm back."
like, why are you back? I feel young.
I shave with this razor. Like, oh, yeah, thank you.
Is what Brett is Favre comedy? Hurting for money?
I don't know.
All right, here. All right, I got to search it. Right, I got to search Brett Favre
razors
shaving club. Let's see, who is it?
Tough Blade. Micro Touch. Yep, there it is. Oh,
Tough Blade.
Videos.
Oh God,
autoplay videos.
Son of a bitch. Well, they got free advertisement.
Yeah, Micro Touch Tough Blade.
And it's a bunch of the most iconic pictures of Brett Favre, yeah. painfully photoshopped to remove any NFL branding. Sort of
I would love the NFL to go after them for like the colors too. You know, they're like, oh, you know, because that's like a good fight that Goodell would make. You know, he'd be like, let's get these guys. They're using green and yellow. They all know that's it's got to be us. I wonder if they have an affiliate. We'll join with you guys.
Yeah, we'll do it. Us and Brett Favre in the same ad. We can do it. Let's go ahead and spend some time clicking through that.
I could use it. I gotta shave my eyebrows sometimes, and
it won't because they're cheap. But I don't use a razor that way. I use an electric razor. I don't use a blade like that. But I might try it if it made Brett Favre look like this. If he was able to actually come out of retirement for this, come on.
No matter the angle, I get a nice shave. Lorenzo M. Contractor. You get a close shave and you save money. The cardiologist is talking about saving money. Pay the fucking... The cardiologist. Yeah, I like saving a few dollars here and there.
And who was that other guy? Matthew Tyler or whatever on their site. He looked like poster boy for Aryan, like the Aryan brotherhood.
Let's see. He's going to come by.
He's going to come by. He's the next one.
I think we're on different parts.
Matthew T. Lawyer is the guy.
Oh, I just missed him. Okay. I didn't know that was the guy. I thought it was Robert L. Firefighter. $20.
All right, $20 for a shaving club?
Yeah.
It's 1 year's worth of shaving.
Oh, okay, nice.
So annualized out.
Tough Blade is better than those 5 or 6 blade razors.
Yeah, and look at his square jaw and incredibly blue eyes. And another thing I want to know, by the way, the picture of Brett Favre trying to shave his unibrow and he's kind of like cross-eyed looking at himself in the mirror. But is Brett Favre hurting for money? And two... Why can't Brett Favre find a more reputable company than this Micro Touch Tough Blade?
He's got to like own part of it, right? Like he's got it.
Yeah,
it's got to be one of those things where he like has to have some sort of
stake in it.
I think they got some of his money out of it, and just like it has to be. There's no way that they would have been like, "Hey, Mr. Favre," or he's really hurting for money. But like even then, like I feel like if Brett Favre wanted to, like a lot of places would. Have him endorse stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. He could come on ESPN would pay him $500,000 a year.
Does he still do the Wrangler jeans? Like, that wasn't that long ago that he was doing the Wrangler things.
I haven't seen him on a Wrangler commercial.
Yeah, but the Wrangler thing was probably paying a pretty decent penny. So he's got to have some sort of stock in this. Because, like, you don't go from, like, hocking, like, Wrangler jeans to the, like, NBA TV, like, 11 p.m., like, in between highlights. Tough Blade, thing. Like, and it's come on, man. Like, poor NBA TV, man. Ugh. Do you want to buy an ad? You want to buy an ad on NBA TV? I'll call him.
It can't be that much.
It cannot
right?
be more than like
a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then we could just, like, we don't need to animate it. We don't need to pay anybody. Like, yeah, I don't think we need any animations. It would just be the KMP show thumbnail.
Yeah.
It would just be you and me talking. Why don't we just buy out an hour? Like, if it's that cheap, we'll just buy out an hour and play the KMP show. There you go. It'll be like an hour infomercial. And just high guys that are looking to watch NBA highlights will find our crappy
2 a.m. Yeah, I'm down for 2 a.m. NBA TV.
They're looking for coverage of Anthony Davis's incredible historic game.
They are. Oh, you're finally trying to wrap this up into a show of some sort that we're going to talk about. I like that.
Yeah, I was trying. I thought it would be organic. It'd be organic.
Yeah.
If we didn't mention it, it would be an organic.
Anthony Davis had quite the game last night. It's not really being talked about all that much. Have you seen a whole lot of publicity about it?
No, I saw a little bit. It was like on SportsCenter. It was one of those things where they're like, we're going to talk about it. Never. Because now we got to talk about this next thing that's going on. NFL.
We got to talk about the NFL Combine.
Exactly. But no, I haven't seen. It should be.
Young men will be running
all over
soon. Yeah, it should be. It's crazy. I mean, we're recording this on Monday, and this happened, I believe, on Sunday, the 21st. For people that didn't see it, it's the New Orleans Pelicans. Had the game of his life and one of the best games of all time, and like people, and that's what I wanted to sort of do here a little bit, not you know a super long segment, but basically just let people know that what he did on Sunday was like historically all time, like legendarily great. Like it's you know his line, just to read it for you here real quick, and this was against the Detroit Pistons. That might be part of it, is because it's kind of the Detroit Pistons. It was on like a Sunday night, or like a it wasn't like a big time or anything that a lot of people were really paying attention to or caring about. But still, it shouldn't go unnoticed. It's an incredibly vivid game. I mean, he 59 points, 20 rebounds, 2 of 2 from three. He's not even a very good 3-point shooter, but he was just still taking them anyway. And then he shot 24 of 34 from the field, so it was 70%. Shooter, 59 points, 20 rebounds. Pretty good.
You know what's the most telling for me is, Rich, you linked me to the top game score.
Yeah, yeah.
For the top six of all time, Anthony Davis, his game on Sunday was the sixth best of all time. What's remarkable to me is when you go down from number one, you get 27, 27, 26, 25, 27, and then Anthony Davis at 22, yeah. Just a couple weeks shy of his 23rd birthday.
Yeah, not in his prime yet. Like, those guys are prime. That's prime, like, NBA smart, prime NBA physical body, prime everything. He's 22. Like,
yeah, and he goes out and really, really. Now, can you explain game score a little bit more?
Like, yeah,
this
yeah.
is a really great game either way. You see 59 and 20, you know it's a tremendous effort. But what is it about this from Anthony Davis that makes it one of the best games, single games of all time?
Yeah, so not doing all the kind of the gory details, but game score, it was developed by John Hollinger, who worked for ESPN, worked for a number of different sites before. Now he's in the Memphis Grizzlies. I think he's still there. The Memphis Grizzlies front office, they hired him out of ESPN as kind of one of their stat guys to go there. And it's basically, like we sort of said a little bit, it's supposed to give a rough measure of like a player's productivity during one game. It's trying to wrap a game up into one sort of neat little package, similar to what Bill James does for game score for baseball. And that's like a historic, like that's a very old school, like in the 80s, Bill James came up with this idea of, 100 is an average game score, anything above that, different things like that. But what kind of goes into it for basketball, it's points times field goals attempted, then a little bit of some stuff with free throws, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, steals, assists, blocks, and personal fouls, and then turnovers. So, of course, personal fouls and turnovers would be a negative effect. And then the others, points, field goals attempted, how well you do in that. And then offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, and steals would all be positive stuff. So it's all box score stat-based to try to get you that. But it's just a way to sort of look at a game and look at a guy who not only scored a lot of points, but also affected the game in other ways. Got rebounds, did other stuff, steals, blocks, that sort of stuff. But also was efficient at shooting. Because if you shoot 20% or whatever, say you shoot 40%, you just shoot every single time you touch the ball. Like, there are guys like a David Robinson once had like a 71, point game or whatever. And that was like the final, it was the final game of San Antonio's season. And like, I think he needed 68 points or something to like win the NBA scoring title that year or whatever. So San Antonio just fed him the ball every single time. Like we
go
don't
ahead,
care,
just shoot
whatever.
It, throw it up.
And like, and he's missing shots left and right. And it's like, it's a not efficient game at all, especially for David Robinson. It just wasn't very efficient at all. So like, a game score doesn't reflect that, even though he scored 71 and you would go, oh my God, like that's incredible. Like, he has to be up there. But game score didn't grade it all that well because he just didn't affect the game in many other ways and he didn't do it efficiently. So it's a little bit of that. It's essentially Davis's, which I believe I have it right in front of me, 53.9. Just to give you an idea, 40 is considered outstanding. Like, that 40 is like, oh my God, you've had a great game. And the 10 is average performance. So he had 53.9, which is
all right,
well and above outstanding. So
that's pretty impressive. What I find also remarkable is that he only fouled once.
Yeah, and that probably helped him out a bunch too, is that the one foul where a lot of these other guys, like
You know, Michael Jordan, who has the all-time best game score, it was in March of 1990, which this line is just incredible, too. And, like, when you imagine that the personal fouls, which he had five in that game, no doubt, like, affected his score and dragged it down. Like, imagine what this game score would be if he only had, like, two fouls. You know, it'd be absolutely incredible.
Right, if he because, you know, there was a time where he was probably sat down because he was at three fouls. And or is there another way that you're saying the fouls wouldn't?
Well, I'm just saying,
impact?
Like in general, they because from the way
game score is calculated,
yeah,
gotcha.
that fouls is considered a negative aspect of you times it by the rest of these things. So if you have one like Anthony Davis had, which I'm sure propelled him up a little bit, but Michael Jordan had 69 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, like it's just incredible. And then he shot 23 of 37 from the field, 2 of 6 from three, and then 21 of 23 from free throw, which is really good. But I think one of the other remarkable parts about Anthony Davis's game on Sunday is he only shot 10 free throws. He made 9 of 10, but that was it. It wasn't like he did all of this at the line. Like that Michael Jordan game, he's got 21 of those points coming from the line. Kobe Bryant's, 81-point game, 18 of those points came from the line. Karl Malone, who has got the third highest, 19 of his points came from the line in this. Davis, only 9. Only 9 points of those 59 came at the line, which is just, it's really incredible. I mean, it's of all games, like we said, it's the sixth best by game score. The other guys are Michael Jordan. He has 2, Karl Malone, and then Kevin McHale slides in there as well with a 1985. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Kobe Bryant's, 81-point game is second all-time. But I thought what was also remarkable is since 1983-84, when, kind of rebounds were calculated properly enough that Basketball Reference can kind of get a decent idea, only one other guy had a performance like Davis, which was, over 59 points and over 20 rebounds, and that was Shaquille O'Neal. Had that once in March 6, 2000. He had 61 points and 23 rebounds against the Los Angeles Clippers. So, which I imagine was lots of nuts and a lot of faces. Like that's like prime Shaq just throwing nuts in people's. So that
was, was that a good Clippers team or were they just
Were horrendous then. No, they were really bad. So yeah, he was just probably fucking them up. Like, and that's the other thing too. Like you look at these a lot of these guys, like a Shaq. Him getting 61 and 23 makes sense. That guy's always around the rim. He's just putting back dunks. He's just, doing that sort of stuff. If you watch this, even though Davis is a very tall guy and very, athletic and he's a nice big man, a lot of his stuff was coming from like mid-range, a few threes, just kind of running the floor, just different stuff like that. So I think it's a very unique game in a lot of sense. And I just wanted to talk about it here because if people haven't seen it or haven't seen highlights or just haven't heard people talk about it, what happened on Sunday and what Anthony Davis did was historically all-time legendarily great. And it you owe it to yourself to look at highlights and check stuff out because it's just, like I said, he's the sixth best game of all time according to GameScore. Like, that just happened a day ago, and I don't feel like anybody's saying anything about it. Like, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And he is, Rich, for you, where does he rank among the young players in the NBA? Because I'm looking right now, he's 24.3 points per game, 10.1 total rebounds, and he's averaging over 2 blocks per game. He's actually over 2.5 for his career per game. Where is he for you in terms of young talent in the NBA? Because he's only almost 23.
Yeah, he's right up there. I mean, I think one of the things that really kind of hurt him overall, maybe this year, maybe that's a big reason why a lot of people aren't talking about him, is this was supposed to be his coronation year. This was the year that Anthony Davis was going to excel to take the next level. The New Orleans Pelicans were going to be a great team, or not, maybe not great. Great's a little heavy, but a very good team, definitely a playoff team, a solid playoff team. He would be, an MVP candidate, and he's just not quite there yet. But I think that is an issue of, again, expectations. Like we talked about, those are the guys you mentioned, 27, 25, 26, 27, he's 22, so we everybody sort of assumed, okay, this is the year Davis takes that leap. And it's like, the guy's, he's still 22. I mean, let's
for 23, putting together that kind of game is quite a leap. It's maybe not like he has arrived and he's going to put up, he's going to average 15 boards a game, or, some people are, there's that class now where they're talking about 20 rebounds a game, and he may not be there, but this kind of game from somebody at 22 years and 347 days is astounding given what the other people at that level have done.
Right. And again, you sort of look at the stats of everybody else this year, and I'm sorting by points per games right now to sort of look at where he ranks in this, and sort of we think his year's sort of underrated, or oh, he's not quite there or whatever, but he's like he's in the top 10 in scoring. Like, you have Steph Curry, who's number one, of course. He's 27 years old. James Harden, 2. He's 26. Kevin Durant, 27. DeMarcus Cousins, 25. LeBron James, 31. Damian Lillard, 25. He's one that's emerging this year. And I'll skip Davis because we know he's 22 just to kind of get the rest of this top 10.
Right.
Russell Westbrook, 27. DeMar DeRozan, 26. Blake Griffin, 26. Paul George, 25. Jimmy Butler, 26. Like, you see where I'm getting here? Carmelo Anthony, 31. Isaiah Thomas, right. 27. Klay Thompson, 26. Like, you have to go down all the way to Andrew Wiggins, who I believe, I don't have his exact level here, but he's 20 years old. So you have to go all the way to Andrew Wiggins, who I think is 16th right now, if I'm looking, to find the next guy that's like that sort of under 25 years old or whatever. So, I mean, what we're talking about is still a very young man that probably hasn't reached his peak yet. And so, you know, I want to say that, like, if everything comes together and he continues on this path, yeah, he's going to be the best young player in the league. But there's been some, you know, some things that haven't quite worked out this year. But when you really look at his numbers and you strip out what's happened with the team, which has not been good, the Pelicans are a mess. But if you strip that out, I mean, he's having an incredible year. I mean, the guy, you know,
right.
averaging 10 and, you know, 10 rebounds per game and 24, you know, 0.3 points per game. I mean, it's an incredible year.
And last year at 21-22, he was second overall in the league in win shares per 48 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, he's good. He's very good. Like, it.
Yeah, well,
it's really painful how many people aren't talking. I mean, like, it's team related, and Savage's in New Orleans and whatever. But like, people are missing like the budding star, and the NBA in general. If you're sort of like, you know, I don't like LeBron or, you know, one of those people, like, you're missing guys like right now this year. Of guys like, you have a Kevin Durant taking a next step up, Russell Westbrook taking a next step up, possibly the last year of those two. Kawhi Leonard from the Spurs. If you're like, oh, those guys are too flashy and flamboyant or whatever, you have Kawhi Leonard who you can't get to smile. Like, there was one time during the All-Star weekend where he like cracked a smile for like a half a second and then stopped or whatever. Like, so if you're like, oh, I want an all business, you know, NBA, you got Kawhi Leonard at 24 who's emerging into an MVP candidate. Like, there's so many good young players in this league right now. DeMarcus Cousins, if you like, you know, assbacks that are young, good young players. You got DeMarcus Cousins, and you know what? Hey, it's
yeah, but that whole Kings thing,
yeah,
that's,
you know,
not entirely his fault.
No, I give him a pass for the most part. I would be an assback too if I was in that situation. No, I don't want to make it seem like I'm calling. I think he would admit that he's an assbag, but he's not like, it's not his fault, and it's not like I'm not putting him down by saying that.
Right, okay.
Like, he knows he is. That's kind of his persona.
He was just being prickly. He's being prickly.
Yeah, he's a very prickly man. And, like, that situation's a fucking mess in Sacramento. So I don't blame him, to be honest. But,
well, you know what else is a mess at the NBA? This came down today. I can't believe. I mean, I don't have any reason to dislike the Rockets. I don't, but the Pistons are voiding, as I understand it, when's the deadline up?
Okay, so the deadline was last week. That was Thursday.
Right, but there's a deadline on physicals.
You get a
48
hours. Yeah, you get 48 hours after the trade deadline for the physicals to come through. The Rockets, since this seems a little bit late, is because they asked for an extra 24 hours because they wanted to get second and third opinions on Dante Matiunas. We'll go Matiunas is his last name if you're curious.
Okay.
He was the big player in question here, as the Pistons acquired him at the trade deadline from the Rockets. Did a bunch of tests on him, didn't really like what they saw, kept looking.
Bad back.
Exactly.
Is what,
yeah,
I read, right?
And so eventually then today, yeah, a really bad back. I forgot what it is exactly, but he hasn't been playing in weeks. I think since December was the last time he played. But yeah, so they got their 24-hour extension. No, it's a 72-hour window. Sorry. So that's why it seems like it's taking forever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the Pistons doctors looked at him and said, you know what? Nope, we're not taking him, and voided the deal. And it had, like, huge repercussions because, like, guys got released, you know, to fill roster spots. They've gotten signed with other teams. Like, it's a three-team deal, too. So you have a lot of, like, sort of different things happening and guys falling, guys getting released, guys thinking they're moving, people selling their house. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Stuff like that happens. Like, it's not like you're just like, oh, you know what? I'll wait and see what the physical is. Like, I get that some of these players are like, all right, cool. Like, you know, some might be already relocating to Houston. Like, weird things happen here, but it's a prickly situation here, and it's curious of who knew what, who did what, and sort of who's the bad guys in this situation. I think is the fun part to sort of look at.
Right. This is from Deadspin. Now, Rich, you put a note here in our little sheet that there may be a bit of a spin job here, but this is what Deadspin had to say about the deal and the Pistons voiding the deal. The Rockets are royally screwed. Assuming they make the playoffs this season, they'll lose their first round pick to Denver, and now won't have the Pistons first round pick, which they were going to get,
yeah,
although it
correct.
Was top 8 protected.
Right.
to make up for it. Thornton's and Monte Junis' salaries are back on the books, pushing the Rockets over the luxury tax line.
Yeah.
Not only do they now have to pay the luxury tax, they also won't get luxury tax payouts from other teams and are one season closer to triggering the extremely punitive repeater payments. They have a player whose back is so injured that a team that coveted him wouldn't take him. And finally, one of the league's more unstable locker rooms now has two players who might sulk because they were legitimately traded, and another three, Dwight Howard, Ty Lawson, and Patrick Beverley, who were prominently shopped. So, and the Rockets are the eighth seed right now in the West. And they might end up paying the luxury tax for a team that doesn't make the playoffs, loses their first round pick, and doesn't have another one to make up for it.
It's not
that great. Sounds pretty bad. Now, you say this is worse off for the Pistons.
Well, I think one of the things, and maybe I read the Deadspin part the wrong, but I think their headline, you know, sort of that the Pistons were screwing the Rockets by voiding this deal. That they were, which isn't wrong that the Rockets did get screwed by this, but a lot of it is the Rockets' fault.
So it's not like the Pistons are like, haha, take
the
this,
Pistons
Rockets.
Did, yeah, and that's what I think is important about this, and for people that aren't quite sure, it wasn't the Pistons now at this point have just said, haha, yeah, like you said, haha, screw you, Daryl Morey and the Rockets, like, now we showed you or whatever. What they're essentially saying is, hey, this is the guy we really wanted, because the Pistons are trying to stock up, because they're, you know, they're a playoff team this year, and they look like they're going to be, they're not going to make a big run, they're not going to make the NBA Finals, but they can, you know, for a young team, a young core, making the playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, it's a good little next step to say, okay, now we have this, you know, we've made the play, because they haven't made the playoffs in forever. I mean, of course, we know the Pistons history and Joe Dumars and what's gone on the past 10 years with that franchise, but, so this is the guy they really wanted. The problem, though, And the quotes came out from the Pistons GM, who sort of on Twitter and in the media basically said, fuck you, you know, Daryl Morey, who's the GM of the Rockets, by saying, quote, standard with all trades, medical clearance on all players involved is required for completion. Medical clearance was not given on all players, and the trade is being rescinded. You have that happen sometimes where a physical can kind of happen, but I think that it lasted this long and that it sort of ended up screwing the Rockets as heavy and as hard as it did is I think that they were kind of pissed that maybe they asked him or, and I don't know this, I'm just assuming that they said, hey, how's his back? And, oh, you know, it's not bad. It's all right. You know, we're getting there or whatever. They get him and they go, oh my God, this back is a complete fucking mess.
Oh, that may be, okay, right?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know that for sure, but Daryl Morey's had some weirdness as the Rockets GM. Like, of course, in this article, they talk about how his players really don't like him all that much. Like you said, there's three guys in here that were like in every single trade rumor that now are still here. So it's like, hey, how's it going, Dwight? Like,
hey, buddy.
Hey, Ty, how's it going, man? Like, hey,
let's go out there try to make that eight seed.
Right. And it's like, you try to trade me then, man. And like, one of the other things that I've heard as well, and again, I don't have like confirmation because I'm not an NBA general manager, but like that Daryl Morey has always asked for like incredible like amounts of players back. Like he'll dangle some like mediocre player and then want like a first round pick back or whatever. And like he got that with this Monte Unis trade, which is why it's probably so significant that the Pistons were like, dude, like, you know,
come on.
Like, and I'm sure it was a rough negotiation because like no team wants to give up a first round pick for anything. You know, mm-hmm. unless it's,
so you're saying it's not that easy as it is in NBA 2K16?
Exactly. In NBA 2K16, you're just like adding. Like, come on, man. Just add it. Like, here, I'll add two more bad players to the deal.
Here you
and
go.
Now you're going to want it. Thank
so
you.
So now you're going to want, you are going to take Joakim Noah and that bad white center that never plays
Cameron
unless
Bear
somebody
style,
gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yes, Cameron Bearstow. And our second
players,
round
yeah.
pick from 3 years from now, and you're going to give us this first round pick.
Right.
You're saying it doesn't work
like
that?
I don't think it does. No, they covet first round picks pretty well. So the fact that they still got this first round pick for Monte Unis and Thornton lets it know that the Pistons really coveted this guy and I'm sure asked, given that he hasn't played in December, hey, how's the dude's back? How is he? And maybe they got the word that, oh yeah, it's okay. It's fine. Because having to do this many tests and having to get it voided this late after the trade deadline, there's so much weirdness going on here. And I really don't, I mean, I don't know. It could be the Pistons being kind of weird and being kind of dickwads out about this. I doubt it, though, because it seemed pretty intent of why or what their intention was of why they wanted to make this deal and everything that sort of involved it. Whereas Houston, it's clear, wanted to get under the luxury tax line because, hey, we're not going to be that good this year. Why pay the luxury tax if we're just going to get, as you put in our notes, wing whipped by the Warriors?
Yes.
If we make the playoffs, we're going to go, okay, four games against the Warriors. Okay, all right, all right.
No,
bye.
I don't want to make it just the Warriors, though, because they could make it to the seven seed. I was looking at the standings.
Okay.
They could make the seven seed.
So they get wing whipped by the Spurs.
Yes, yes.
LaMarcus Aldridge can put his wing in their mouth. So that'll, yeah.
That's...
but... it's just like, it's a very odd. And then Montiunas came up on Twitter and said, I'm fully healthy 100%, and I think I will give a good boost to Detroit to make the playoffs. So this is on Thursday. So this is on Thursday after the trade went down. So apparently he was like, I'm good. I'm fine. And then they tested him.
And then they
said,
had him try to do stuff, and he's like, no, I can't do that.
They're like, hey, can you jump?
No, that hurts.
I don't jump right now. Soon.
That hurts really bad.
Soon.
Yeah, soon. If you give me as soon as you sign me, and then you give me the cortisone shots and all the steroids, and then I'll be good.
Then I'll jump. But So a very interesting situation. But yeah, it had huge ramifications. Like the Sixers got involved and they released some people to give up roster spots.
Yeah, they released somebody to take on to make the salaries work, to take on a player that they were going to release anyway, hoping that the player they released wouldn't clear waivers.
Right. Well,
or would clear waivers.
Yeah, he would clear waivers.
He didn't clear waivers.
No. He got signed, yeah.
And so now they're screwed even more, but they're trying to lose anyway, so it's not that bad.
Yeah, they don't care because they're not a real basketball team, so they just do their own.
How do you do that with so many number one overall picks? Is it just you lose, like the lottery just screws you? Like, oh, we're supposed to be number one. Damn it, we're ninth.
And that's
son
this
of
is a
bitch.
Big thing. And this is the thing that the Sixers have had really good picks. That's the problem is that the big issue is they've wasted – I don't want to say wasted because Sixers fans get really upset here because they have like they buy into this plan. They really love this whole thing that the Sixers are doing. And I don't blame it. Like, you know, when I play video games and I always say, oh, it'd be great if a team just tried to lose as much. Or we've said this back in the 6-4-3 sports days. It's like there's NBA hell where like, yeah, I can be the fifth seed every single year. But what the hell's the point? Like, I'm not going to try to do that. I want to try to lose and acquire these draft picks and get stars or whatever. But at a certain point, if you're not drafting guys that are any good, like that's when it becomes a problem. And the problem with the Sixers is they drafted Nerlens Noel. He missed an entire year. They get a guy who was injury prone in college, get him, and then he misses a whole year. Okay, then they draft Joel Embiid. He comes to town. Hey, how's it going? Oh wait, I'm hurt now. Okay, no problem. Come back next year. Oh wait, I'm hurt again. Okay, well that's fine. Just missed 2 years. It's not a big deal. So he hasn't played at all. Then you have Jahlil Okafor, who they drafted this year. He's playing a little bit. He's doing well. He's scoring, but it's like. He's really, I mean, him and Noel are fine, but they don't play well together because they're both big men centers that, you know, so that unit between the two doesn't really work, and they keep drafting big men. They're like 3 years in a row, they just drafted big guys, and the league's kind of going in a different direction where, hey, you know, it's real nice to have back to the basket big men, but we're going to run past you and shoot threes, so have fun with that. Like, so it's like, what do you, you know, they're talking about, you know, of what they're going to do, and well, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to grab these picks, we're going to try to get a superstar. But they're sort of waiting until they get a superstar, which is fine, but draft a superstar then, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You just keep drafting injury-prone big men, and it's not really working, and they're still horrendous, and the league has come down on them this year. So the Sixers, it's just a whole big mess in Sixers land there. I mean, they say they have a plan, but it's one of these things where they never say when the plan is done. They don't really, you know, oh, we have a plan, we're going to do this, we're going to break it down and build it up. Okay, when's the build-up happen? Well, yeah.
When we say it does. We're in year X of the plan.
Right, and they haven't said the plan is
Y total years.
2017 is, okay, that's the year we're gonna sign guys and we're going to do this. The problem is nobody wants to sign with your freaking team because you're awful. So it's like, you got to draft that superstar, but they haven't done that yet. So it's like, well, how long do you go until you say, hey, now we're going to try to draft a superstar. Okay, we got this guy. Okay, let's see. Oh, it didn't work. Sorry. Like, wait 4 more years or whatever. Like, that's where they're at now. And it's been only, you know, it's been 4 or 5 years, so it's not a huge deal. But for a fan base, though, that's just seen, like, outward losing. And it's not like they're developing young players, too. They grab these guys off the, like, literal trash heap guys. Like, they grab guys from, like, other leagues, you know, the D League and that sort of stuff, and put them on the roster. And these are guys that will never, ever play in the NBA ever again. Like, there are guys that are just here to fill out this roster. One or two of them might tag on with another team, but that's all they're doing. Like, their leading scorer from a few years ago, he went to the Rockets and hasn't played since. Like, he literally has not touched the floor since moving from the Sixers, but he was their leading scorer for a year. that tells you, like, that's the what they're doing right now. And it's just like they're not drafting superstars. So it's nice and good to say, you know, this is our plan, this is what we're going to do. But then you got to hit those drafts. You have to just kill the drafts and have, like, look, we've had three, you know, top five picks, top three picks, whatever. These guys are all ready to go. Now we have a lineup. Now we had veterans. Now we're ready to go. It shouldn't take that long. It really should be a quicker process if you're doing it the way you're doing it. And it hasn't been for them. It's gone on forever.
You know what they need? They need Theo. They need to get Theo in there. Theo will figure out the black kids playing basketball right. thing pretty quick, and he'll figure out who to draft and all that stuff. Yeah, it seems I don't know. It seems to me, look, if I was helming this, if I had my scouts doing my things in NBA 2K16, I would have turned this bitch around by now. I don't know what these yahoos out in Philadelphia are doing. It just seems got to do a little bit better, I don't know, scouting and stop drafting injury-prone people. I don't know. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk, I don't know, some more stuff. We got a bunch of
Manny
shit.
Being Manny. Let's talk about Manny being Manny.
Manny being Manny, but not the good Manny. Way. Not the good way. Not like the good way Manny being Manny, where it's like, hey, is he listening to headphones out in the outfield?
Not the
Manny
Ramirez,
who cares?
Like,
it's Manny being Manny.
Falling over when he's supposed to catch a ball instead of catching it. And, you know, No.
It's
Manny
this
being
is different.
Kind of a...
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we come back on the KNP show. We'll be right back.
KNP fans, be sure to head over to voicesofwrestling.com this week for an all-new episode of Shake Them Ropes. Each week, Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins bring you Shake Them Ropes, talking all things WWE and NXT. Rob and Jeff will talk all the latest news coming out of WWE, the news heading into NXT TakeOver, and get your thoughts on the build-up to WrestleMania 32. If you're into nostalgia, every week Rob and Jeff discuss a new match on the WWE.com list of the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network. We run through the greatest matches in the history of pro wrestling, and you can share your thoughts on Twitter at ShakeThemRopes. In addition to our weekly episodes, after every WWE pay-per-view, we also go live on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling YouTube at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube, and you can follow along to a live video stream as Shake Them Ropes goes live after every WWE pay-per-view. So fans, do not miss all new episodes of Shake Them Ropes. Voicesofwrestling.com. That's voicesofwrestling.com. For the best in pro wrestling coverage and commentary, look no further than Voices of Wrestling. Hi everybody, Rob McCarron here, and at Voices of Wrestling, we specialize in coverage of wrestling in the US and abroad. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Noah, Dragon Gate, Revolution Pro Wrestling, Evolve, Ring of Honor, and yes, WWE and NXT. We have it all. Reviews of every major show. Podcasts that cover it all, including the flagship Voices of Wrestling podcast hosted by Rich Kraich and Joe Lanza. You won't get opinion this diverse from anyone else. Subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Watch our live shows on YouTube. And check out our daily reviews. All of this and more at voicesofwrestling.com.
This segment of the KNP Show is brought to you by Beckett Media. Beckett Media is the most trusted source in sports and pop culture collectibles, and now, with this exclusive offer, you can take 40% off anything from the NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL. Free shipping on select items within the United States. Visit voicesofwrestling.com/Beckett today to save. That's voicesofwrestling.com/Beckett, B-E-C-K-E-T-T, voicesofwrestling.com/Beckett. Welcome back to the KNP Show. I am your host, John. With me, as always, is Rich. Now, we want to talk about Manny being Manny, but not that Manny. A different, less fun, more just douchey,
awful,
bigoted,
legitimately awful human being.
Like a bad, just a seems like a bad dude.
Yeah, he hides it behind like the little smile and like the innocence or whatever. But and I've heard this for a long time that he was just like this crazed weirdo or whatever. And yeah, it's pretty bad. But
this is from Boxing Junkie, a subsidiary or Boxing Junkie, a subsidiary of USA Today. Manny Pacquiao posted a Bible verse on Instagram that called for gays to, quote, be put to death, end quote, hours after the Filipino boxer was dropped by Nike on Wednesday. The since-deleted post included a picture of his wife and excerpts from multiple Bible passages, including Leviticus 20:13. Quote, if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads, end quote. Gotta love the Bible. Early Bible.
Yeah.
Not old Bible it got soft. Early editions of the Bible. It got, there was some bad shit going on in the Bible, let me tell you.
A lot of people dying. A lot of people that should be dying.
A lot of people like this bad, this, that, that, bam, boom, bad. It's bad and you're dead. Nike dropped Pacquiao in the wake of the boxer's controversial remarks. By the way, the quoting the Bible thing isn't the worst thing he said.
Right, yeah. Hold on. Wait.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah, wait, if you thought
when you order for $19.99, Manny Pacquiao says racist shit to you over the phone, you'll get to hear him quote awful passages from the Bible. But wait, there's more.
Like, okay, if you want to be Bible dude, or religious, whatever, there's a
sorry,
lot
Rich,
of passages.
Rich, can you, can you start over? Sorry, it's just you cut out for a bit. The source connect just said, okay, sorry. So if you want to be Bible dude, I want to hear all of this.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Are you still there?
Yes.
We're good? Okay.
Oh, no. Don't go, what's that guy's name? Rambus on me?
Yeah.
don't be downloading. Don't be.
I'm not. There's nothing going on.
You can find hot Asian girls finger blasting all day. We're recording the show right now, okay? That's all I'm saying. All right, so I'm sorry. You were saying you want to be Bible dude.
Yeah, if you want to be Bible dude, there are a lot of passages in that thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty to choose from. Maybe not this one. Like, if you want to be the I'm very religious guy, and that's fine. Do your thing. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I feel like there's a better Bible verse than the one that says gay should be put to death. Like, it feels like that doesn't need to be shared on social
media. In a
media.
Time when you're like, when you're hurting for PR, there's plenty of Bible shit that could make you look good.
Something about perseverance, something about some sort of, you know.
And Michael said to the Corinthians, I will blow you for, you know, a sandwich or something. Exactly, I don't know.
Something like that. Something that's just like, and it's you in the gym or it's you and your wife, and it could be something beautiful about your wife. Like, say something beautiful about your wife in a passage. Say something beautiful about your children. Say something nice, some fun. Like, I feel like this didn't need to be said, but
no, it didn't need to be said. And that's what makes it more insidious, is that if we assume that Manny Pacquiao isn't going to now claim that, like, some intern of his runs his Instagram or his social media, which I'm sure is the next claim that's going to come out, he's gonna be like, I didn't do that, wasn't me, I just told somebody to quote Bible's shit. It means that he was trying to send a message by saying that, like, that, including that in his Instagram post. I think Manny Pacquiao was trying to say, like, yeah, I don't think gay people are worse than animals, but the Bible says you should be killed. So, ha ha ha, because I'm Manny Pacquiao. But the worst part is this is continuing from the Boxing Junkie. Nike dropped Pacquiao in the wake of the boxer's controversial remarks made in a television interview in his native Philippines, where he said those in gay relationships, quote, are worse than animals, end quote. This is a quote from Nike. We find Manny Pacquiao's comments abhorrent, Nike said in a statement that announced the shoe and clothing giant had dropped Pacquiao on Wednesday. Pacquiao eventually posted an apology of sorts to Facebook.
Of sorts. Yeah, that's the best part.
Quote, I'm sorry for hurting people by comparing homosexuals to animals. That's basically saying, I'm sorry you were offended.
Yeah,
you were gay, I compared you to being worse than animals. Yeah.
Not that
way,
I don't think you are, or that was a lapse in judgment and that's not true. No, I'm sorry for saying that and it offending you.
I'm sorry you were offended by my horribly offensive things I said.
Subhuman.
Right. It is the subhuman, sub-animal, sub-beast.
Oh, sorry. Worse than animals. Sorry. I forgot. They're not animals.
Yes.
They're worse than animals. Yes.
I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was saying his quote to the he's campaigning for, he wants a spot in the Senate in the Philippines. And he was undoubtedly pandering to the backwards bigoted people there, as there are in every country. I'm not saying the Philippines are a special place to find backward bigoted people. He was talking about his opposition to gay marriage, and he said, well, when you look at the animal kingdom, you don't see male animals having sex with other male animals. They know better than that, even though you definitely do that. Zoologists have noted it for hundreds of years. But Manny Pacquiao was talking, nobody could get in Manny's way.
I feel like my male dogs hump each other all the damn time, so that's
right. I think what Manny was trying to say was that if you look at the animal kingdom, nowhere is homosexual sex reproductive,
right?
Which I believe is true, but he was trying to make a value judgment on the lack of what he thought the lack of homosexual sex in the animal kingdom, which just isn't there. And he said, so animals have more sense than homosexuals. And, you know, there were, and he said, like, so when you look at it that way, they're worse than they, homosexuals, are worse than animals. And it's just, you know, okay. And then he, then his sad apology, please forgive me for those I've heard, which, I will stand.
By the way, P.S. This is very rich coming from somebody in the Bible who I'm sure doesn't believe in evolution and thinks that, you know, humans and animals aren't, you know, that we don't come from the, you know, I'll let that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seems kind of weird to be like, well, I mean, animals, and they don't, they're not gay, so why are we gay? Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, but we're not, we're humans, and those damn chimpanzees have no relation to us.
Yeah.
Get out of here, animal kingdom. What are you? We're humans.
Oh, you know what? That is
a little rich.
That is a very nuanced point, my friend. But you know what he would say? Blah blah blah. God, God, God. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Yeah. Something, something, something. Jesus through the
faith,
Almighty believes this. Yeah. Can you tell we're both atheists? Is that?
Yeah, I don't know if that was dripping yet, but yeah, there you go.
No, so. But I don't. I don't like being that atheist. I don't want to be that atheist.
Drop Bible verses all you want. I don't care. But be like, through him, I'll show strength, or, you know, like, do that one, or like,
there's tons of shit like that.
There's a lot of verses in there. It's a big book, as you said. The old Bible is a big thing. They kind of slimmed it down for us, you know, the short attention spans now, and I'm sure there's just an app.
Yeah,
that,
well,
like,
and then there was somewhere where a king just decided he was going to write a part of it, and then everybody was kind of like, okay, it's the word of God. Well, what about the part written by a king?
What about how it's been translated over?
And what about for the first, like, couple centuries of its existence? It was passed down as a story told by only, like, clergy to other clergy. And then it was written down and then translated a bunch of, okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm not here to the existence of God.
There are
and
plenty
I don't
of
like
passages.
Doing that.
There are plenty of passages if you want to be, and I don't care if you're a very religious person, I would not choose the one that says all gays should die. That just seems like a little much.
Yes. Manny continued saying, please forgive me for those I've hurt. You know what? That's all you need to say, Manny. That's all you need to say. I've hurt you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Then it's up to them to forgive your bigoted bitch ass.
Oh, he didn't stop.
No, he didn't stop. I still stand on my belief that I'm against same-sex marriage because of what the Bible says, but I'm not condemning LGBT. I love you all with the love of the Lord. God bless you all, and I'm praying for you. Yes, because...
Wait, he's not condemning them, but he says in the passage that if a man has sexual relations with a man, not if a man gets married to a man.
Exactly. That's the thing. Manny Pacquiao is condemning homosexual sex, not homosexuality. Homosexuality is just the being attracted to the same sex. So really, Manny just doesn't want you putting it in another dude's butt. But still, who the fuck is Manny Pacquiao to tell you not to put it in another dude's butt?
Now I feel bad for rooting for him against Floyd Mayweather. Who knew? Yeah. Who knew that Floyd Mayweather
you know what? At
is
least
the better
Floyd
guy? He's like, you know what? I just beat women a lot. But other than that, I, you know, be gay.
Like, I go
want.
To jail, I do my time, and then right. I come out. Manny Pacquiao is heralded by these goons in the Christian church or of the Christian faith. They're like, yeah, Manny Pacquiao, blah, blah, blah.
I can't believe we all watched the fight with these two bad, bad, bad dumb.
They're really bad.
They're both guys are
them.
Horrible. Yeah. Fuck you, Floyd Mayweather. Right,
didn't mean to say that. Like, oh, Floyd Mayweather's now better than
no, he's also
Manny Pacquiao.
A piece of shit,
no,
too,
they're
yeah.
just both. They are both now probably closely approaching equal levels of shittiness, both humans. But I want to, now, a lot of people don't know this, but in the run-up to the Floyd Mayweather fight, there was a special done on Manny Pacquiao, and they were following him around, and there was a piece on ESPN where they were like, hey, you know, Manny, like, what are you doing? And they followed him through his training and stuff, and one of his people said, like, you know, he got rid of a bunch of the people around him where he was doing bad things, like when earlier on in his career, he's a big, big, heavy into booze, drugs, partying, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, emphasis on the sex part, and also emphasis on the not your wife with whom you are having sex part. Manny did a lot of that, and he said, you know, I got rid of those people in my life, and now I go, you know, Bible study every night in my hotel room instead of going out to the bar to get drunk and find some piece of ass to take back to my hotel room. Well, apparently Manny skipped over. I mean, he quoted Leviticus, but he missed three passages earlier, Leviticus 20:10. Manny, if you're listening to this show, by the way, thank you. Be sure to subscribe.
Yeah, hi, Manny. Hi. Sorry about that whole, I mean, if you want to
no,
sponsor
fuck
us.
You.
Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't take
it. Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't either.
Well, no,
how much
if it came
how
through
much?
A shell corp, like Shell Corp. If it was like, oh, it wasn't Manny, but it's like Golden Boy Productions or like one of his productions. Okay. Right. Sure. But
maybe
I'm not going to say
on
Manny.
That, maybe he's in on that Dollar Store, Dollar Shave Club thing. So.
Right? That's why he got Brett Favre?
It's like that guy, American, Brett Favre. They're like, all right, I mean, we can get other guys if you want.
Like, he's like, no, big star. He's like an Eastern European bizarre. Big star, best price. I get you Brett Favre. Sell many, many razor, Brett Favre.
Like, Brett Favre has no cachet, Manny. No, do it. Okay.
And we put on NBA TV. Black guy love Brett Favre.
Yeah, you're like, okay, all right, Manny. All right, Manny,
go ahead. What's my salary again? Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Let me quote you Leviticus 20:10. Quote, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. That's for you, Manny Pacquiao, you smug son of a bitch.
His page was ripped, to be fair.
Yeah,
so.
What's his 20? Okay,
oh, I didn't know.
It goes from 29 to 2013. I don't know.
What is this? I apologize. I really, I didn't know.
Just what a huge piece of shit. Yeah.
Well,
you know what?
Good
riddance. Here's hoping the repetitive subconcussive hits will eventually manifest themselves in early onset dementia, and he will not be able to enjoy his money for nearly as long as he hopes to, because that's a man who's been punched in the head a bunch, and I hope even now those tau proteins are beginning to build up and suffocate parts of your brain. You just bad. I mean, listen, again, atheist talking. This is why Christians can't have nice things, because stupid motherfuckers do this kind of shit with it, where they go, hey, this Leviticus thing, what's that say? Oh, my God, I hate gay people. Like, no, dude, just listen. OK, you want to take the Bible literally? We'll take the Bible literally. You want to interpret it to interpret out the bad shit? Fine. Let's just do that everywhere. But you pick and choose, because I guarantee you, if you quoted, if some reporter had the balls, the nuts to ask Manny about his thoughts on Leviticus 2010 and was able to quote it to Manny Pacquiao in a press conference, I guarantee you he would. Well, interpretation, it was written so long ago. But this motherfucker has no problem saying, oh, yeah, Leviticus 2013 says gays should be put to death, so see ya. And it's just, you know what, goodbye Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, we won't hear from him for quite a while or ever again, so that's
well, this will be his last
his last
fight, hopefully. Unless, I don't know, is Floyd Mayweather in jail? Is he gonna get out soon?
Are they
gonna fight again? Is that gonna be a thing where they're like, let's do this again?
They said they were gonna do that, but yeah, I don't know. Both men have taken odd paths to the rest of their life, so who knows? Yeah.
Right.
I think Floyd's okay. I mean, he's still probably just a beats women like an asshole, but
Well, you know, you know what? He only did what, 90 days?
Was that all?
In jail?
Yeah.
I think only 90 days in jail.
That'll teach him.
Beating the shit out of women like a bunch. Pays to be rich in Vegas, I guess. All right, I think that'll about wrap it up for KMP show, Rich, unless you had something else.
I got one more thing. This is going to be a longer show, but we have to talk about this.
Okay.
We have to talk about this.
What did I miss?
New Knicks coach Kurt Rambis, who replaced Derek Fisher.
Yeah.
This is the best story of the day. This is the absolute best story of the day. So this is on this is everywhere on the internet today. Kurt Rambis, who of course replaced Derek Fisher, allegedly, and people have found this and there's been screenshots and all this stuff, allegedly liked a tweet with a pornographic image. And that's what NBC Sports Talk said. If you go to sites that get a little racier, it was of an Asian girl masturbating.
Yes, in the interest of putting on a good show, I did my due diligence and I found the image.
Okay.
And I watched the video. I mean, I just found the image. I didn't watch the video. I really didn't. But Katie, if you're listening, but she doesn't listen because we talk.
Why the hell would you listen? Not this
right,
far in the show. Like this,
right,
this
not
point,
this far.
Everybody that's related to us has stopped listening. So
yeah, because it's like, oh, God, they're really talking about sports? Like, yes, we really are. Yeah. And then, so thankfully she doesn't listen this long, but, yes, it is of a, very nice, woman of, can we say Oriental still?
No, you definitely cannot say Oriental.
Okay. So,
still.
Well, there was a quote. There was a UK NBC sports guy who was talking about it was like some track and field thing, and he was like, "He's a very useful journeyman." And I was God. Can't say Chinaman, but no. I don't know. I thought it was back in vogue. I don't know.
No, I think Oriental is still. I think they
okay,
prefer
so
like
a very, very pretty Asian
of Asian
woman.
Descent. Yes,
yes, putting on a nice, very nice little show. yeah. So.
Okay. So anyway, this was found out on Twitter because, of course, when you like something, a lot of people can see it if you go to their likes in your profile. So this is a warning for any guy that like casually likes like porn bots or whatever, porn accounts or whatever. People can see that, so you might want to just like not do
right
that.
Now.
Like,
now here's a question: what if you protect your tweets?
Then I think you're
can
okay.
Can people see your likes? Okay.
If they still follow you, though, I think if you follow them and you then they follow you, I think yeah, I think you still can.
Ooh,
I don't know if there might be a setting where you can say my favorites aren't public or whatever. Don't favorite the porn things. If you like it enough, save it on your phone. You know, push
right.
in, save image, use it for later. Or
I'll definitely be
not go back
in.
Later. Or you know what you can do is say, "Huh, I saw that Asian woman masturbating a lot. Earlier today when I was,
I saw this Asian woman masturbating
you
a lot.
What I'm gonna do? So what I'm gonna do is." Oh, I don't know what that tweet was. I can't find it. All right, I'll just go and find the other 7 billion photos of Asian women masturbating on...
Right.
And like that one picture isn't life or death. It's not like, whoa, boom, will you be using this one later? Like,
this is the one, and like, this is the only one.
Maybe that's just me, but I feel like I could just be like, you know what, Asian masturbate. There you go. Like, you know what,
no.
Whatever. It'll work. Like...
When I originally saw the story, I chuckled because ha ha ha, old person doesn't know how Twitter works and is definitely just, definitely was like a little horny, maybe a little hungover. Was like, oh man, that Asian chick is super hot. Oh yeah. And, you know, maybe rubbed one out to it, maybe snapped off a wrister. I don't know. But
Kurt,
it seems that it's like, there are so much more efficient ways to search for porn.
Right.
Than Twitter.
Yeah.
You have Google. You have all these search engines. You have all these websites. You can type in the most specific fetish you have, and you'll find websites, videos, pictures right away. You go to Twitter, you have to hope that the person whom you're following likes the same kind of porn you do.
It's tough. Yeah, it's hard. It's old school. You don't need that.
Well, I guess maybe that's why I liked it, because he was like, oh, shit, finally, Asian chick blasted herself. Gotta hit that. Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit more to the story, which it actually continues to get better. This is the greatest story of all time. So nobody really cared. Everybody was just kind of laughing about it. But then the Knicks had to get out in front of it, which is hilarious as well. So this is from the New York Daily News. According to a Knicks official, Rambis was hacked and or spammed. In addition to pornography, Rambis's account showed that he liked a moneylending tweet that he did not. According to Jonathan Sopaganowicz, or I don't know what his damn name is. He's the team's VP of public relations. So he says, Kurt was hacked and or spammed, and he also liked a moneylending tweet. And why would he need that? He doesn't need that. Kurt did not like those items on his Twitter page, and we worked with Twitter to make sure the situation did not happen again. The best part of this, though, is that NBC, whoever mm-hmm. wrote this, I forgot, I think it was Dan Feldman on NBC, did his research and said, the Knicks did not explain why Rambis also follows Great Ass Daily.
And did Great Ass Daily tweet that out?
I have no idea. Let's do a little all research
right.
here.
Let me go a little control shift N
yeah,
on you
let's
here.
Let's see here. Great Ass Daily. Why am I not following this already?
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's a nice ass. Okay. All right. Yeah, oh, there's a Great Boobs Daily, too. That's more my...
Yeah, there's so many. All right, so is it at Great Ass Daily?
It's at Great Ass Daily, yes.
Okay, Great Ass Daily.
I think I'm into Great Boobs Daily, but we'll do our due diligence.
There's a lot of marijuana on here for a Twitter account talking about great asses, and then a chunk of money. I don't get it. Okay, so we're looking for an Asian woman.
I don't think so. I think these are just asses.
These are,
because you wouldn't see, you know, if it's just an ass, then you know.
Yeah.
This is not an ass. I just looked right here. That is a vagina. So that okay.
Lies. Okay.
Yeah.
There's this. It does live up to its name.
There are
the name
a lot of posteriors,
account.
And a lot of them are pretty cool. So
yeah, they're all right. Hey, the Batman logo is right over where, like on that one, on that piece of underwear.
I see that,
it's
yeah.
right where you would want it to be. So I don't see the Asian chick. That was okay. That chick's oiled up. well, I'm good for now, I think. Wow, they can do that? Okay. Oh boy. Well. So,
Here's okay. So to wrap this up, Bill Barnwell, who I don't know what he's doing now. He was at Grantland. I forgot where he's at now. I think he's on ESPN now.
Mm-hmm.
Really good NFL writer. If you like NFL, he does a fantastic job there. He tweeted out something earlier that perfectly encapsulates my thoughts and pretty much everybody's thoughts when they hear the athlete did something stupid on Twitter. Oh, I was hacked. Or like, you know, mm-hmm. athlete does something not even stupid, but just like something minor. And they're like, oh, I was hacked. Like, I followed that account because I was hacked. Or, you know what I mean? So he tweets out here, hacker. And he's using like codes or whatever. So I'll just kind of, you know, like the backslash or whatever. So anyway, mm-hmm. hacker hacks NBA coach's Twitter account. / bypasses personal information. / doesn't message famous friends. / thinks. / likes porn photo. That if you were so you get Kurt Rambis's Twitter account. You get into this thing. Newly minted
NBA head coach.
Right. You get this, and Kurt Rambis. I mean, man, that man has been in the NBA forever. He was a famous, you know, Laker. You know, he's got, I'm sure, direct messages and personal information that's crazy. He probably got his credit card linked up to the thing. You know what I mean? Like there's mm-hmm. things. The first thing you decide to do is, you know what? I'm gonna like a photo of this Asian woman masturbating. Like I'm into his account. I hope that nobody finds out. I got to go quick if I want to get, you know, money from him, if I want to message people, if I want to get in some sort of Ponzi scheme or say, hey, you know, I'm Kurt Rambis, send me money or whatever. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. stuff like that would probably be, you know, pretty decent idea. No, he decides I'm going to go find an Asian woman masturbating and then like that photo. That will show him and then right, sign out and I'm done.
Like, right. That's the key is that it requires this hacker because if the Knicks version is to be believed, Rambis did not follow this account, did not know what it was. So the hacker got into his account, on his account, found that picture, that specific picture, liked it, and then peaced out.
And then signed out and said, I have done exactly what I want to do. Well, it's pretty funny. Somebody replied to Barnwell's tweet and said, isn't accident so much more plausible? I have accidentally liked things before on the mobile app.
Right.
Yeah, I have too, but they are like tweets about wrestling. They're not like Asian women master. But, like,
but even then,
that's still showing up on your feed. So
here's the sad part is that in the day and age in which we don't fat shame, we don't slut shame, we don't, whatever, we are yelled at constantly about shaming and checking our privilege, but a middle-aged white man can't look at some goddamn porn.
I think
porn
everybody's fine with it. Everybody was cool.
And just, yeah. Right, but he can't. He feels the pressure to not be open about it and just say, "Yeah, I was looking at porn, and I was just fucking jerking the gherkin, man. I had to do it. It was a rough day. I needed a little alone time, and you know, I was in my refractory period, and I just wanted to remember." This one got me to places I haven't been in a while, and I liked it. We don't feel comfortable because, yeah, I joke about it now, but if I accidentally did it, you know what I'd do? Delete it and then be like, holy shit, no, I hope nobody saw that. And then if somebody saw it, I'd be like, dude, I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, there's this third-party account. I got I downloaded this app, and it wanted access to Twitter just in case I like a video, and I don't know. Because I wouldn't be... you know, as comfortable saying, yeah, I was looking at porn. I mean, I can say it now. Yeah, I look at porn, but I'm not in the presence of proof that I look at porn. And I think that's a different animal entirely. But you know what, Kurt? Just come on, say it, man.
Yeah.
Like yourself some porn.
Too. I'm a big fan of the, as John would call them, Orientals. I like to call them women of Asian descent, but Great Boobs Daily.
I asked if it was okay.
It's not.
I just asked. I didn't say it. I wasn't like, oh, he's that Oriental chick. Damn it, I'm saying it now. I'm not trying to say it.
I will tell you, I'm a bigger Orientals fan of Great Boobs Daily. It's a very it does a very good job of presenting what it's they're there. I mean they're there.
Let's see.
Every day, every single day they tweet out some pretty good boobs. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. He's
he's a
good.
That's
just you know, during my doing my that kid is not looking at boobs daily. That kid is looking at that chick's ass. But you know, I'll let it slide.
I saw that picture too. Yeah, that's a little weird one.
Great boobs daily. Like is that?
It's not a kid. By the way, it's not like a child. It's just so we don't get thrown off the air. They're like 18 or something. They're at a beach.
Yeah.
So,
it's
just, you know, it's not a child, like a legit child, but.
Yeah, but I mean, she's
here.
Wearing a bikini. It's not like it's, you know. It's
no,
not,
I know. I just want people to think that you're, you know, looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, here's an ad that have a baby dick. Okay.
Wait, whoa, hold on. Where can you?
Yeah, have a baby
off-air.
Dick. Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, off air. Do you want to send me that that link? That'd be
yeah. I'll copy link it. I'll bookmark it really quick
for a friend. I have a friend who's got
yeah. I know.
So.
Me too. Yeah, me. Yeah. Me too. Yeah,
so I'll if you want to shoot that over,
I'll talk to him later tonight. Actually,
it's Tim, right? Tim.
No, his name is it's John, but it's the Dutch spelling. So there's an H.
Han. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
Sean.
Got the H in it. Yeah, J-O-H-N, and you're J-O-N. So I mean, that's
Totally different. It's different guy. Yeah. But he confided in me. He's like, dude, got a tiny dick, and I was like, you know what, dude, it's okay, but I like Great Boobs Daily is coming to the rescue. Come emphasis. On where you think it should be.
This is off the rails.
I want to know more about the baby dick. I just okay. Well, I like you know I'm still kind of rigid. Tits or ass, man. What do you got? Extend or release, impromptu. Extend or release.
All right. I'm gonna extend the boobs. I think
you're gonna hear the boobs, man. Huh?
Yeah. I didn't always used to be, but then I've converted. I've converted.
All right. You know, I'm a fan. I like a nice ass, a nice bubbly butt. Not like a big, like huge, like you know, cellulite.
Right, because if you have you know the baby one, then you can't really do much with that, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Because it's eaten up immediately. It's like it's
you're like
just,
where did it go?
Know.
I don't know.
You know, but the bubble, a nice bubbly little something okay. there. You know, because they. And it's the same thing with boobs too. It's not, you know, I'm not like, oh, you know, small or bigger or better. I'm just, you know, give me a solid C cup. Give me a solid C cup any day of the week over double D's, triple E, whatever, all this crazy shit that people are into. Give me a nice solid C cup. Not me. I mean, show me a nice solid C cup. And then, you know, but I'm not one big, you know, big one way or the other. On that. So I'll extend butt.
Okay.
And I will extend into a butt as well, but not a dude butt, because Manny Pacquiao says
yeah,
he doesn't
Manny
like
would get
that.
Really mad at you, yeah.
Manny would, our sponsor would definitely stop sending us checks. Our sponsor being Manny Pacquiao, because he doesn't like homosexual sex, because he's a tremendous bigoted douchebag.
In case you didn't get it, yeah. So now we go.
Yeah.
Not the fine people at Amazon /Beckett/Otterbox/ SeatGeek. They're all cool.
No, they're all cool. Diverse. They love diversity. They love the LGBT community. I'm assuming it was probably a safe bet. Manny Pacquiao, however, sponsor of this show, fucking hates him. Just can't stand him. I don't know why. We try to tell him, like, dude, come on. It's good. Even if you genuinely dislike them, just put a fucking cap on it for 30 goddamn seconds when you're speaking in public.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Shut
say
up.
Say it when you get home. Say it at your church or whatever. That's fine. But
yeah,
when
don't
the public
say
face when the public face of like a big brand.
Don't do that. Don't
do
that.
Chill.
Yeah, just why don't you just chill with the bigotry? Just wait till you get back to the Philippines after you retire. Nobody will give a shit about you. But you just had to say.
Before you sign off, real quick, Manny Pacquiao, I'm gonna try to look at First Amendment. How many people said what about the First Amendment, right?
Oh God. Please don't. Please don't. No.
There we go. Forrest Crowe. Nike just dropped their contract with Manny Pacquiao due to anti-gay comments. That's bullshit. Where's the First Amendment? Real talk. Real talk, Forrest. You're damn right. What about that First Amendment? That, of course, does not allow private companies to decide what they do with people.
Yes. I talked about this in the last KMP show, and of course it had to happen. But, you know, Rich, I think, would you agree with me that there's a point, I don't know where it is, but there's a point in which informal punishments like this, like Manny Pacquiao being dropped or you know, to take a remove the element of rich people out of it. Like if you lose your job for saying stupid shit on Facebook, isn't there a point where the idea that the drive to be politically correct, to be socially correct, moves away from just an ad hoc, just kind of informal punishment and actually does become pretty formal, not to the point where it would actually engage the First Amendment, because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. But doesn't there, isn't there a point at which people kind of look around and be like, okay, wait a minute, now we're actually actively trying to hurt people for the things they say. And while that technically isn't a violation of the letter of the First Amendment law, it's a violation of the spirit of it. The idea being that you should kind of be free to say what you think, no matter how fucked up, so long as it doesn't represent other kinds of blah, 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 not protected speech. Is there a point there?
To an extent, but still, like, I don't think, again, I never think that companies should have to deal with, you know what I mean? Like, you right. shouldn't be, I shouldn't be able to walk into my office and just start saying the N-word and people going, well, that's okay, because he's mm-hmm. allowed to. You know what I mean? Like, my company right, can right. still say, like, eh, you know what? That guy's not going to be really happy about that. Can you, like, just not say that anymore? Like,
you know, Rich, calling you down to HR today, we were listening to the most recent episode of the KMP show. And while we can
yeah.
while we can definitely understand and appreciate the high production value of such mm-hmm. a podcast, not many podcasts around can achieve it, we don't like you associating with this John fellow who keeps using the word Orientals, is it? As he, like, screams... Orientals was said a total of 5 times during your most recent podcast. I don't think we can afford to keep you on.
I would just sell you out in 2 seconds. I would just sell you out in 2 seconds. So you're good.
Like, fuck it, not doing the show.
I was
anymore.
Like, well, that guy's an asshole. You're right. I will keep giving me those checks. You're right. I apologize. You're done.
You see, but even that, like, isn't, like, if it's outside the office and, you know, I don't know, but it just something about it to me, it seems like there's a point between where the two kind of mix. You know what I mean? The idea that you should be free to say what you want,
I gotcha.
And be kind of free from repercussion. I don't know. But not here. Not, you know, this isn't the point, but I think there may be a point somewhere. I just don't know where it is. But you know what? Still, fuck you, Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, regardless, case in point, fuck you, Manny Pacquiao.
Right. I'm trying to make up for saying Oriental by being angry at a bigot. Like, I figured if I'm yeah, angry enough yeah. at him. I'm like, people forget, like, what is, I don't know. He's just angry at Manny Pacquiao, and I'm angry too, so, and that's good, right? Yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. All right, this has been the KMP Show. Today's episode has been brought to you by OtterBox. Find a sweetheart deal.
Not shit, anymore, though. Unfortunately, not anymore. Have to listen to this episode, but.
Find a sweetheart deal and, no, just no, go to voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox. How about you just do that? Go to voiceofwrestling.com/OtterBox and you can receive free shipping on your order, maybe. So get the case your phone deserves from OtterBox. Go to voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox. That's voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox. This has been another great episode of the KMP Show. You can follow the show at KNP Show. That's at KANDP Show on Twitter. You can follow me at John's Voices. Be sure to subscribe to the feed. The Audio Boom feed can be found at KNPShow.com. You can also search us on iTunes, the KNP Show. Be sure to subscribe there and leave a rating and review if you please. Thank you guys for joining. For Rich Kreich,
basically fuck you.
I'm John Playtech.
I own these people, but... so why can't I have sex with them?
I figured it was one just the last time.
You
I was
might as well.
Delete.
Yeah, this time is probably good.
Just this it. Episode, I'm going to delete it right here. Watch. Well, I'll delete it right now. Let's see. Watch. Open. Boop. Delete. It is now deleted. Gone off the soundboard. I mean, I can still add it later, but yeah, you get it. Thank you guys for joining. We hope you enjoyed. We will catch you next time on the KMP Show. We are out. Bye.